lovely to be back here this evening. To have a whole day being here is just, for Chris and I, such a blessing. The reading this evening is taken from James chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. James 1, 1 to 18. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man shouldn't think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away, even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he's dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who doesn't change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask right now that you provide to us a blessing from your word. Dear Lord, we pray this morning, give us this day our daily bread. And dear Lord, we would ask that as the time comes round your communion table, you would feed us also now, that you would give us both that spiritual sustenance to provide us the energy, the capability of surviving the things that we have to go through. Dear Lord, we would ask through the power of your Holy Spirit, we would ask through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would speak to our hearts and souls and minds, that you would change who and what we are so that we would understand. We would understand. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name, and God's people said. Well, thank you very much for inviting me here today. It's the last one that I'm with you now until next year. It's always a pleasure to come to you as a church and see all the fantastic things you're up to. All the wonderful notices you were giving out this morning, the sheet of everything you're involved with, that newspaper you're sending out. Perhaps you don't realize this, but you are an awesome church. You are an awesome church if you'd recognize and be encouraged by that. You know, we go to so many places, don't we, that you might have one or two things going on in the week, and that's it. And you're doing so much. It's fantastic, absolutely fantastic. So be encouraged, be blessed, and know that you are a light, especially to us who come amongst you. Let's turn to the Lord's word. Do you know him? It's a very positive, dear. Do you know him? Do you know him? wonder. You know him. We read in the letters of the New Testament writers stating that they have joy. But what is that joy? And do you have that in your life? It's used, we just pass away nowadays, don't we? Just joy. Oh, yeah, joy. Of course we do. We sing about it in our hymns and whatever, don't we? Joy. But can you say when you come together into church that you come together in pure joy? That you meet together and that you're going to enjoy the company of your fellow Christians as you come under the word of God? Or is it perhaps you have in your mind instead, oh, it's Sunday again. I've had a week. This is supposed to be a day of rest, but it's Sunday. I wonder what in your mind your definition of joy is. So you would understand what the writer here is trying to tell us. The definition of joy, and I won't ask Cheryl this because she already knows it, but the definition of joy, it's only taken about 3 years, isn't it? But the definition of joy is this: gladness and rejoicing within a life which is filled by the presence of the life-giving power of God's Holy Spirit. We've experienced the Spirit tonight, haven't we? Yeah. We've experienced the Spirit tonight. In fact, he's amongst us. He's amongst us. Christ promised him us. He came on that day of Pentecost, and he's been upon this planet for the last 2,000 years. Do you have him in your life? Do you have him? Is he there? Because he's supposed to indwell us. We're supposed to have been baptized by him following our time of baptism, if you've gone through the waters of baptism. And then we're supposed to receive him continually through our lives so that we can be empowered and we can overcome things. Because this is what James is writing about in this letter. Having joy. Having joy. Then perhaps what I've just said perhaps makes more sense in this letter. It says this: consider it pure joy, my brethren, because he's saying brothers here, my brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So consider it pure. Pure. That your life is filled by the presence and life-giving power of God's Holy Spirit, as that as you come under those times of testing, he is with you. You do not have to go through these times of trials and tribulations without the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, perhaps then he will say in you, oh, you should be experiencing joy now, because I can suddenly be in your life in a new and purposeful way. Because as you're going through these times of trials and tribulations, give you a greater experience of me, a greater communication with the Lord in heaven, so that your relationship with him grows ever closer. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying. If you read anything about the life of Paul and what he went through, he was shipwrecked. He was whipped several times, 39 lashes, as he says. He was stoning, and stoning generally caused you to die. But the Lord decided, obviously, to lift him back up and get him to work and go back into the city. He went hungry. He was naked. There was times when he had no money and nothing, when he was set upon by robbers, a whole range of things. And if you think about it, and if we didn't know it was Paul, you'd be saying, hang on a minute, this person must be being developed so God can then save him. But before all of that, he was saved. And then he experienced all these things. And what he writes right at this bit of his testimony talks about is that more that troubles me more than anything else is the issues that are within the church. I hope tonight now that you understand the words that, or one of these words that we have and is used in the Bible, and then you won't misunderstand what is being said, and how, so that therefore you could enjoy your trials and tribulations. It's strange to put it that way, to enjoy your trials and tribulations. You know, if you didn't matter, you wouldn't go through them. If you didn't have purpose, then the devil wouldn't pursue you. If you weren't going to have an impact on this world, then nothing would happen to you. The trouble is, we don't realize it at the time we're going through these things, do we? And one of the worst things of all is when we're going through these things, we get depressed. And we go back to our old nature, don't we? I know I do, for succor. And why feel his security? And then all of a sudden, I get like a slap across the face. Hey, I'm here. Spirit is here. And you're going through these things for a reason. So I can help and develop and grow you. So that you would have a testimony to tell. To encourage others who are going through these times of trials and tribulations. Just being on my course. And there's some folk there who are going on through very similar things that I have gone through, and I pray for them, and I pray with them at those times when I meet them, and I say, I ask God that you don't go through the same things, because they are necessary, because the devil wants to take away your faith, wants to take away you being effective, wants to take away the fact of you receiving joy, because you have a life that's full of the Holy Spirit, that you are relying on Him. The writer here is exhorting these Christians, encouraging them not to see their lives as difficult, but instead he's encouraging them to look forward to their troubles. For from these times, it's when they grow and develop, and your relationship with Christ grows ever closer, ever closer. As a people, and I'm sorry to have to say, because I have to lay this upon myself, we have to experience hardship until this world changes. The writer says, in order for us to develop inside of us a faith which perseveres, a faith which grows, a faith which is pure, a faith which is based upon the life and death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who then intercedes on your behalf so that you might receive the blessings of God in life for this church and this community and for you as an individual and as a group of people. So that you might have purpose and a destiny. For you are, as I've said before, and I even said it this morning, that you are a chosen people of God. I wonder if you feel chosen tonight. If you feel encouraged by that. By hallelujah's name, amen, you obviously do. You know, our God is a great God. We need to capture that. We know at the moment there's a particular country right next door to us. We're going through times of tribulation as we did not that many years ago. But in all of that, our God's in control. You sang about it tonight. Our God's reigning. He's reigning. He's reigning. Do you display this behavior? Do you encourage others when they are going through times of trials and tribulations in their lives because you have the joy of the power and the life of the Holy Spirit in you? When Christ ascended into heaven, he sent a helper, just as Adam needed one. Christ recognized that without his Spirit, we as God's people would be helpless. We would be lonely and ineffective. His crucifixion, his death, then his resurrection should have been enough. But he knew we needed an enabler, a counselor. And if you know your Bible, and if you know this Holy Spirit, he was sent into this world in power and in grace 2,000 years ago. And this very Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is with us, who is God himself, empowers us and keeps us and enables us to overcome all things, because God has allowed it and he provides for his children. I wonder if you provide and allow yourselves to be provided for. Could we see the video? Thank you. This is a video. See that advert actually. absolutely kills me each time because I feel how I've failed my children. But I think that's why most of us look forward to grandchildren, because then we can do all the things that we should have done with our children. But I wonder what letter you would write to our God. And I wonder what letter he would write to you. Would you like to tickle you? Would you like to be around the dinner table with you? Would you like to say, I have joy for you? Would you have a huge list of things? Oh, I want a bigger church, and we want all this healing, and we want all these, this, that, and the other. And God just say, I just want to be amongst you. I want to walk amongst you. I just want to be one with you, and I want you to be with me. It says in Scripture that God promised us his Holy Spirit. The Spirit who is Lord is here amongst us, inside of us, and he desires and wishes to help you, empower you, and provide you with the wisdom of God, which is promised here. How wise are you? Miss Cheryl's honest. She's saying, I'm not sure if I'm wise at all. I'm not wise. I have to ask God all the time. And generally then he says to me, go talk to your wife to get some sense. You know, talked a little bit about this morning, didn't we? And our God will provide to us if we ask him. If we ask him. When we examine his words, he brings to us new revelations. These very pages provide us with the wisdom of our God into our minds, into our existence, which then helps us make decisions. And if we're really wise, we ask God to be involved in those decisions, and he will help us and will make us even wiser. Because you see, the world's foolishness is its greatest wisdom, because our God's foolishness is greater than any wisdom the world has to offer. And he generally turns things the right way up, because the world's turned things the wrong way round, isn't it? You see, Christ knew that we would come under stress and trial. And if we're prepared with him, we do not need to suffer these times on our own, for the Spirit is with us. And he'll sit down at our dinner tables and talk to us. He'll sit down at those times when you ladies are doing your makeup because I've got their concentration. Or when you're doing your ironing. Yeah? Perhaps when we're driving along on a journey, get into our life, speak to us, because we're times of quiet. Do we exercise ourselves with Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit? Or are we afraid to allow God to work inside of us so that his glory may shine through us? Our God has promised us much, but rarely do we grasp that fruit off the tree and allow us to experience the sweetness of him. We see in our land today, our churches are small. The things that we do are meager. Yet our God is so great. We tend to wallow in our own self-pity, even though God desires to lift us out of it. And as he's trying to tell us, you are my child. You are so important to me. And I desire to bless you in a great way. Doesn't matter about the external things. It's you and me. And when we gather together, it's you and me as my family. Because I'm smiling at you, and Jesus is saying, look, Father, look what they're up to. Is he saying that in, look what they're up to? Or is he saying, look what they're up to? They're awesome. They are absolutely awesome. You know, they come to us and ask us for wisdom. They come to us and ask us for power. They come to us because they realize that their circumstances is low, so therefore we will elevate them to a high position. They come to us because they need resources and we will supply them. See, our God, the one who has died, cried, rescued, paid, raised, who calls upon his children, desires that you would be filled with joy. Are you prepared to come before him and say to him, Lord, allow me to be your child. Lord, allow me to be filled by your Spirit. Lord, allow me to be healed by you. Lord, allow me to have your wisdom. Lord, allow me to experience your grace. Lord, allow me to sit with you and have fun with you and be tickled by you and spend time with you, to spend all day with you. Why not write a letter to God this Christmas, just as those children wrote to their parents, and ask God for those things, so that you could play together, eat together, to have fun together. See, God desires so much, but more than anything else, he just desires to be with you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your people here this evening. I thank you, dear Lord, they're such a blessing. And dear Lord, I know you desire to bless them in more ways than they can imagine. If you desire God to have business with you here this evening, allow his Spirit now to come upon you. Allow his Spirit to change you. Allow his Spirit to empower you. Allow his Spirit to give you wisdom. But more than anything else, allow his Spirit to draw you to him. Just that phone's trying to talk to you. Allow God to talk to you in your lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're a great and awesome God for the wonderful things that you have done for us. We praise you and bless you.